Good morning. I'm glad you're here and ask you to turn on the scriptures to the book of Mark, chapter number 4. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4. I'd like to read verses 38 through 40 for our text this morning and hear the scriptures describe for us an event in the life of the Lord and his disciples during the time that he walked upon this earth. And the Bible says that he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and saith unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Lord, we thank you today that we have this opportunity that we can come and assemble here before you. We ask you, Lord, that you might accept our worship, that you might give us this morning the words that need to be spoken, that you might give us the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that you might lead and guide and direct us by your Spirit and your Word. We pray this morning, Lord, that as it goes out today, that thy Word might have great power in each of our lives to allow us today to see it, you more clearly and love you more dearly. And for all that's said and all that's done, we pray that Jesus Christ will receive the honor and the glory. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen. We live this morning in a very fearful age. I guess that if there was one word that would describe the time in which you and I live today, I would have to say that the word would be fearful. Because I believe with all of my heart we're living in a time that we could call the age of fear. Since 9/11, of course, that fear has increased dramatically today. We saw in our country the Patriot Act has been invoked. If you go to an airport, you will find that security has been heightened. You find that everywhere around here you cannot go down to the locks that like we used to do and watch the ships or the boats as they would go through the locks because they've all locked them up because of 9/11, because of the terror, and because of fear. We're afraid today, and sometimes that's with good cause. Nothing wrong with a little healthy fear today. You know, we live in a time when people are constantly, we read constantly about robberies and carjackings. We read about murders, and we read today about all of the things that are taking place in our world today. And we're constantly reading all the bad things. And our fear today is fueled by the news media, by the politicians. If you listen to the Republicans, they say if you follow the Democrats, they're going to lead you deeper into debt and get you in such a mire that you'll never get out. If you listen to the Democrats, the Republicans are going to cut out all your money and you're not going to be able to live. And it's just a constant thing today to me that people are constantly goading and fueling the fire of the fear of our place today. Schools and institutions are afraid of lawyers, and it seems to me that we live in a strain this morning that's always making our lives filled with great stress because of the fear that we're in. In the Bible, we find that it's a characteristic, though, of the last days. It should not surprise us that these things are taking place because it's a characteristic that's going to take place in the last days. You see, our Lord said in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26, And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, and for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Jesus said that men's hearts would be failing because of fear. Now, when you read that, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're a physical heart attack. Now, I would say that sometimes this is going to be the case because of all the stress that we're under. But it literally means that our strength would be waning, that men's hearts today would not be in living any longer, that their strength would be going down and their motivation for living would not be there anymore. You see, he says that down in verse number 25, when he talks about, and he says, upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. With perplexity. That seems like a very unique word, and I don't hear a great deal of it being used, but literally it means just a big mess. You see, we look around today and we see the distress of nations with perplexity. Everything just in one big sordid mess, isn't it, this morning? Everywhere you look, every part of the globe, we are just in a big mess. This world is in a mess. And you know, when we look around today, we seemingly have no answer. What is the answer to the mess that this world has gotten itself into? Economically, we find not only in this nation, but around the globe, economically, we're bankrupt. We find this morning that we're living in a time when morality and spirituality and ethics today are no longer meaning anything. And all that we can seem to think about today as we look around is simply this: what's going to happen next? Why bother to do anything because something bad is going to happen anyway? Where's the next war going to flare up? Where will our troops be deployed to next? What tax will they add to us next year? What will happen next day? We're living in a world that's just in a big fat mess. And Jesus said men's hearts would be failing them. We just don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. But what makes us so afraid this morning? Why are we so fearful? What makes you and I, what makes me and you and our world afraid this morning? Well, Jesus gives us the answer in our text. He and his disciples were out in a little ship out in the middle of the sea. A great storm had arisen. The Bible says that the disciples came to him and said, "Master, carest not that we perish?" You know, as we look around the mess that we're in this morning, we look around and see all of the perplexity, I guess we could say, and we're wondering what's going to happen next. Sometimes, do you ever think, God, do you really care? Lord, do you care what's happening to us? Lord, do you care that we're perishing, that we're in the midst of this terrible mess, and Lord, do you really care? That's kind of the way the disciples evidently felt. They were in this little boat. They were out in the middle of the sea. A great storm has arose, and Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. And they go to him and say, "Master, carest not that we perish?" Of course, we know that Jesus arises and calms the sea and rebukes the wind, and a great calm came across that sea. But now notice what he says. Why are you so fearful? What's the matter with you? Why are you so afraid? Then he says, How is it that ye have no faith? You see, Jesus answers that question this morning in our text. He said it's very simple. You have a lack of faith. Jesus said, have ye no faith? I mean, can you imagine all the things that these disciples had already seen Jesus accomplish? The healings, the feedings, all the miracles that he'd already performed. And yet, when they get out in the middle of the sea, in the midst of this great storm, they get so afraid they didn't think Jesus cared about them. And Jesus said, have you no faith? You see, fear today is really the opposite of faith. And I have to ask myself sometimes, and I think you'll have to ask yourself at times, do I really have the faith that I need? Paul, writing to Timothy, said, the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind this morning. You see, this morning, faith tells us that God is in control and in charge, and we believe in God. If you read the story of Jesus and his disciples here in our text, you find that Jesus said unto his disciples in verse number 35, and the same day when even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Let's pass over to the other side. Now that's pretty simple, isn't it? Let's go to the other side of the sea. Let's go from this shore to that shore. You see, he didn't say, hey guys, let's get in this boat, get halfway across, and we're going to sink. He said, let us pass to the other side. And he gets in the ship. And the Bible says that he simply went to the hinder part of the ship and lay down and went to sleep. And the disciples got afraid. Now, I'm not here to talk ill of the disciples, because I might have been afraid too. I probably would have been afraid. But you see, they really didn't have faith. That's why Jesus said, have you no faith? He didn't say we're going to sink. He said we're going to the other side. Now listen to me. We're in a mess. These disciples were in a mess. Evidently, this was a pretty good storm. These were seasoned fishermen who had been out in this sea before. So I'm pretty sure they were in a pretty good storm out in the midst of the Sea of Galilee. They were in a mess. We're in a mess in our world, and sometimes we're so afraid because we don't really think that God's in charge. But you know, Jesus, on the night before his crucifixion, told his disciples once again. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. You see, this morning, we need to really understand that we don't have to fear. 55 times, I believe it is, in the New Testament, we find the phrase, fear not. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, fear not. Jesus is constantly reminding us to have faith and not fear. But then I say, well, how can that happen? I'm still afraid, even though I read that, even though I study that. Lord, I'm still afraid. What can I do? In the book of Psalms, chapter 27, and as we think about this, David writing here a psalm or a song, and what a wonderful song and psalm that it is. And he says, "In the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should be encamped against me, my heart shall not fear. The war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident." David said, "Hey, I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to be afraid." Now, why should David say that? He said, "Even though I've got a lot of enemies, I've got a lot of foes, I've got a host," and that's a very large number in the scripture, "that's camped about me. Even though there's a war raging against me, even though everywhere I turn, it seems that there's something going wrong, David said, my heart shall not fear. I shall not be afraid." Now, why could David say, "I shall not fear"? Somebody said David didn't live in our day. He didn't, but he lived in some very terrible times at times, folks. And the psalmist here, and the Bible is written for our instruction, for our encouragement, for our admonition today. When we read this, and David said, "I shall not fear," why could David say, in spite of everything that's going on in my life, everything that's going on around me, "I'm not going to be afraid"? Well, the first two words of the psalm is a very, very significant part of it. He said, "The Lord." The Lord. You know why we don't have to be afraid? Because of the Lord. Now think about it. The Lord. That's what David said. The Lord. I'm not going to be afraid because of the Lord today. I think maybe the second greatest truth that we could learn from the scripture today, the first being that God loves you. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But I think maybe the second greatest truth today is very simply this. The Lord cares for you. In Psalms 142, David once again writing, and he said, "I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." No man cared for my soul. Nobody cared for me. "I cried unto thee, O Lord, and I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." There may not be any man that cares for me, but thank God, he said, the Lord's my refuge. The Lord cares for me today. That's what he's saying here this morning. He's saying, "I'm not going to be afraid because the Lord cares for me." You see, he said, "The Lord is my light." Light shows the way in darkness. People are more fearful at night than they are in the daytime. When children are young, they don't want to go and sleep in a darkened room. Leave the light on. They are afraid. They're fearful. I read the other day that psychologists say that we're born with two fears. the fear of falling and the fear of noise. And I thought they didn't know either one of my boys, because they could cry loud and they climbed on everything. But why at night people get more fearful? Because things lurk in the dark, amen? You see, things are more scary in the dark. You can't see. You know why we get a lot afraid sometimes in the darkness of this world? And this world is full of darkness tonight, this morning. And we're afraid because maybe, and David said, hey, the Lord's my light. The light's always on. And he's the one that shines the light into the darkness of this world. Jesus is the light of the world. And when we look around today and we say we don't have any answers, we don't have any, we've got all of these problems, and then God can turn the light on today and say, I'll show you the way through the darkness. You don't have to be afraid. Hallelujah today. You want to be thankful today that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. That in the darkness in which we live, the Lord is our light. He'll show us the way through the darkness and dispel the darkness in our hearts. And my salvation, my deliverance. See, he's going to deliver us. He didn't say to you and I today, I'll get you halfway there and you've got to get the rest of the way on your own. He said, I'm going to deliver you. I'm headed to heaven today. I'm headed to glory. We're going to get there because the Lord's our salvation today. He's our security. He's everything that you and I need today. The Lord, David said. And he said, he's our, and the Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord's the strength of my life. He's the empowering thing that keeps us going day by day. He's the strength that I have. Oh, I'm so weak. But the Lord is the strength. What keeps us going in the dark days in which we live? We can see the light and God's going to deliver us. And he empowers us day by day and becomes the strength of our life. That's why we don't have to be afraid. The Lord this morning. You see, it's all about the Lord. David said, I'm going to be confident. He said, in this I will be confident. He said, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secrets of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock and covereth me there with his hand. Hallelujah for the Rock of Ages this morning. You see, David said, I'm going to be confident. He said, I'm going to go down to the house of God. And that's what he said. Notice what he said in verse number, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Thank God today we can come to the house of God. We can come and worship with God's people. We can come, as David said, and inquire. We can come and see the beauty of the Lord. David said, I'm confident of this. Because, you see, I've been down to the house of God. He said in Psalms 73, my foot had nearly slipped till I went to the house of God. He said, when I went to the house of God, I began to see. God began to teach me. And he said, he's going to hide us in the cleft of the rock. He said, I'll lift my head, or he'll lift up my head. And I'll sing praises unto God. We can sing praises unto the Lord today. He said, we don't have a lot to sing praises about in our country, in our nation, in our world. But we can still sing praises to God. Praise the Lord today. He said, I'm going to seek his face. Seek his face. That's what we need to seek, his face today. Too often times we seek his hand. We're looking for the Lord to do something for us. Instead of simply seeking his face and saying, God, we love you. God, we just want to come and be with you. Lord, we just want to fellowship with you. Lord, we just want to spend time with you. Lord, we just want to seek your face because you've loved us so and we love you. Do we really seek the face of the Lord, or do we always constantly seek his hand? We need to seek God's face. David said, I'm going to seek his face. I just need to come and be with God. Well, you know, when you get along with the Lord today, and you get along with God, things not nearly as bad as they looked like a little while ago. And he says he'll never leave us, nor he'll never forsake us. Aren't you glad of that today? He never leaves us, nor he never forsakes us. It's amazing today. The Navy SEALs have a motto, no man left behind. At times, they've been unable to keep that motto and that pledge. But I want to tell you today, the Lord's got one pledge, and he says, I'll never forsake you, and I'll never leave you, and I'll never come a circumstance where the Lord will leave you or forsake you. Doesn't matter what kind of mess we get in, the Lord's still with us today. I'm glad today the Lord's not going to leave us nor forsake us. And then he said, I'm going to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The hardest thing for me to do is wait. I don't like to wait. I hate stop signs, traffic lights, elevators. I always have to wait on that thing, you know. I don't like to wait. To be fair with you, I don't always like to wait on the Lord. You know. Because that requires me to sit still and quit trying to do it myself. That requires me to just be patient. Set back for a little while. And I thought about when I read that in Psalms, and I read about Jesus in the hinder part of the ship asleep. Sometimes I think what we need to do is just lay down and go to sleep. Jesus was waiting on the Lord, evidently. I'm not being ugly. Listen to me. Wait. Wait. David said, just be patient. Everything's falling apart. Wait on the Lord. Why? Because he has got everything in his hand today. He's got everything under his control. I think about children. Children are usually very impatient. Amen? If you ever raised any children, you know they're impatient. Daddy, will you do this for me? Yes, but I've got to get this done first. I'll take care of it in a little while. And then you go and they've made a big mess out of it. Why? They didn't wait on Daddy, did they? Sometimes I get in a bigger mess than I would have been in because I didn't wait on the Lord. Let's just wait on the Lord, David said. And he'll strengthen you. He'll take care of you. He's got this thing in his hand this morning. What I'm telling you today is very carefully understand this. We're living in a fearful age, some of it with great reason. Certainly, I want you to lock your doors, protect yourself. But what I want you to understand today, don't let your life be filled and controlled by fear. Because understand this one simple little fact. The Lord is in charge and in control of this whole outfit. He's got the whole world in his hands. And I want to tell you in closing, very simply this. I've read the last chapter in the book, and hallelujah, we win. We win. We can be afraid. Or we can put our faith in God and say, God, I know you're going to see me through to the other side. Hallelujah today, the Lord. The Lord. The Lord. The Lord. That's all it's about today. He's got it under control. And he said unto me, and he says unto you, why are you so fearful? Just put your faith and your trust in me. And I'm going to get you through this world of a mess that we're in. All right, I thank you. If you'll stand together with me for prayer, and Brother Bruce Bean Barber to come. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time we've been together. Lord, I ask you to take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his precious holy name I pray. Amen.